Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Sports Huddle, The Huddle. Mike Max, Pete Najarian. Twins taking on Kansas City, going for a sweep. They've had a in their third series win, they've already secured. A couple weeks ago, we had Emilio Pagan on with us, and we said, you got to get him back. This guy's articulate and smart. He came over from the San Diego Padres. He's part of the Twins bullpen, and he joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, Emilio, for joining us again.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Now, you've seen a lot. You're a veteran at this in Major League Baseball, but we're seeing the roster management is something else this year, especially for the Minnesota Twins, but all teams in baseball with injuries. Bailey Ober comes back today. You lost Paddock, your old teammate at San Diego. I mean, the list goes on and on. Guys hitting the minors to the injured list, all those things. Is that going to be the norm this year because of an abbreviated spring training? And is it going to be the team that manages that roster the best and has the most depth that wins? Because you really got to pay attention to the Twins to know who's up and who's down right now.
Yeah, maybe. It seems like over the last, handful of years, the roster flexibility has been, kind of a point of emphasis for winning teams. You see big market teams as the Dodgers use it to their advantage. And teams like the Rays, who have seemed to kind of master it over the last few years. So it comes all across the league. So, having a deep roster is a benefit to good clubs, and we definitely have a lot of depth of talent in this organization, and it's showing the amount of depth early on. So it's good to have a lot of good players, and we seem to have a lot of them so far.
Emilio, we were having this discussion earlier, Maxie and myself, and we were talking about Royce Lewis. Now, just using that as one example, but do you agree? We were discussing this about, is he better off sitting there on the bench and watching, or is he better off to go back to the, St. Paul team and be able to play games, real games, each and every day? What's your opinion on that sort of a roster move?
Man, it's so hard for me to answer as a player. I always want to see the best players in the big leagues, but the organization has to make those tough decisions. And getting to know Royce a little bit over the short time he was here with us, he's prepared character-wise to handle anything that's thrown his way. So, as far as what's best for him individually, I'm going to let the organization make those decisions. I don't think. It's a surprise that he came up and did what he did. The talent is on another level. It's why he got drafted where he did, and he handled himself great. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him back up here soon.
And we talked about this a little bit the last time that we had you on, but and Devin Smeltzer is another good example, right? He came up, gave him two good starts, and he goes back down, and he knows it's not the end of the world that he could come back up, but that's that roster depth that we were talking about. But from your standpoint, I don't know if it's called fun, but at least you go to the ballpark every day game ready because you're not quite sure where you might be put in or what the situation might be. What is it like in the bullpen out there? You've had some moving parts. By design, the Twins like to, redefine roles from time to time. You might be a closer one day, a setup man the next. What's that like as a pitcher?
You know, it's exciting because, you know, like I said, I think a couple weeks ago, we've got a lot of guys down there that have the talent to do multiple roles. And, you know, when you come to the park every day knowing that you have a chance to throw meaningful innings, you know, it makes everybody's job that much more fun to come and do. You know, if you're constantly getting thrown in the games that were there's pretty one-sided, it's easy to kind of lose focus, you know, as much as we don't want to admit that as players. But when you come to the field and you feel like each day you have a chance to get a big out for the team, you know, you feel like you're helping the team more, and that's all that we want to do as players is make an impact on the team and show guys that we're ready to compete. So it's, you know, it's been fun and we're trying to keep it going as long as we can.
Well, and Emilio, you guys are rolling. It's great. You got 2 of 3 from the A's, 2 of 3 from the Guardians, 2 of 2 so far with one more to go today. But curious, what was it about the Houston series? Was it just emotionally just what it wasn't the right time or what was it? Because we had a hard time scoring runs. We gave up too many runs. And what happens that something like that, we just get swept that, you know, decidedly? What do you make of that?
I mean, for starters, they're just a really good team, you know, so they make it tough on pretty much anybody. They were in the middle of a really hot streak. I think they ended up winning like 11 or 12 straight. And then on top of that, you know, I don't think Bucks played every game that series. I know Carlos didn't play that series. So you play a really good team and you don't have your best players, it's hard to win those games. You know, that might be an oversimplification for fans, but the reality is, if you look at the rosters for those three games, they probably were the better team, and then they showed that. So we got to get to that level. I think everybody in the locker room and in this organization would tell you that we believe we will get to that level. But it, you know, sometimes you just got to man up and say they were just better than us those three games. So yeah, you know, we're excited. We're excited to grow as a team, and hopefully link up with them, you know, again in the playoffs and go at it. So. You know, we're a good team. We know that, but we've still got a ways to go to be one of the best teams in the league. And I think we all believe we can get there.
Last question. We know you got to get out on the field, but we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. You were a classic, you know, third baseman, good, really good baseball player with a really good arm, and you converted it into a career as a pitcher. We see this from time to time. I was out watching a high school game yesterday, and you see that kid from the outfield that's got the strong arm, and you wonder, is he gonna, you know, could he pitch or not? And I think, you know, people see that when they go to a game. When you converted, what's the most important thing? The guy that has a strong arm, not just having a strong arm, but becoming a real pitcher that can get to the big leagues. What was it that you had to learn above and beyond having great arm strength?
That's a tremendous question. I would say probably the biggest thing is understanding how to take care of your arm, how to bounce back so that you're available for the club as much as possible, especially in the bullpen. You know, to taking care of your arm so that you can pitch, you know, 3-4 times a week, five if you have to, you know, down the stretch. So, you know, I think that's probably the hardest thing is understanding what your body needs in between outings to get ready to pitch again the next day or the day after. So, you know, I think anybody that is playing a position at a younger level, they should play as long as they can. It's going to grow their athleticism. It's going to grow their knowledge of the game. And then if you have to, you know, make the transition to being a pitcher only, you know, then from there, you just learn how to take care of your body on the other side of the game, because it's definitely different than it is playing a position every day. The arm gets taxed pretty quick. Body on the other side of the game, because it's definitely different than it is playing a position every day. The arm gets taxed pretty quickly if you're not taking care of it. So I would say that's probably the hardest thing.
Hey, appreciate it very much. Good luck going for the sweep today.
Thanks, Emilio. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Emilio Pagan, part of the Minnesota Twins, right here on WCCO. You'll hear them take on the Kansas City Royals. 651-461-9226. If you want to talk about Royce Lewis, you want to talk about NIL money. We've had some interesting conversations here this morning on a number of different topics. 651-461-9226. If you need a stock tip from... Welcome back. The Huddle on News Talk 830 WCCO, your home to the Twins, the Timberwolves, and much more. Mike Max, Pete Najarian, keeping you company here. Well, it's 651-461-9226. Any questions that you have? But Pete, I want to ask you two that pertain to business, because I always like working in some of these during the course of our show. One sure. is midterm elections. As you project midterm elections, and not uncommon, you know, a lot of people think that Republicans have a stronghold in the upcoming midterms. Generally speaking, the first term, at least, of a president, that's the case. It's the opposite of the party that's in power. But when from an economy standpoint, what does that do? Anything?
Well, it certainly does something, but that's always that looking forward, right? I mean, we're still a few months away, and it's something that, you know, the markets are looking forward. We're always looking forward to that. But in the present, Maxie, we are in an absolutely incredible time in the stock market, where it's difficult every single day. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, whether you're Warren Buffett or anybody else. It is a market like I don't really recall seeing something like this in the past. You know, in the past when we've had, you know, pullbacks and significant corrections and so forth, it's different. What we're seeing now are minor corrections and then major corrections, but then it's not over. It just, and we've been on this path for about 8 weeks now with the Dow and the struggles that it's had, along with the NASDAQ and the S&P and different levels that people talk about. They're always looking for these 20% pullbacks and all that kind of thing. And you know, it's a different market, though, Maxie, because we've got algorithms, we've got computers that are now, you know, they literally can read all of the news, and immediately it triggers certain reactions from these algorithmic traits.
In essence, artificial intelligence runs the game.
Yes, 100%. AI is there. And greatest example, just take a look at the stock market. Go back to last Friday. Things looked absolutely terrible. And they'd look bad throughout the week, but they looked really bad on Friday. And in 1 hour, the final hour of trade, we rallied about 500 points on the Dow, about 250 points on the NASDAQ. The S&P bounced back very nicely. And whether they all finished in positive territory, which they all didn't, but off of where they were, it's absolutely just stunning to see how the market can, A, move that fast, but B, make that kind of a move in such, you know, the way that it did, and the stocks that were bought and all of that. It's all a big part of what is the markets that we're in, and it's always going to be changing. And if anything's going to be on the cutting edge of technology, it's going to be the stock market, believe me, because there's so much money involved. So it's incredible to watch. But you know, your original question with the elections, yes, that is something. But, you know, we're still looking out for that. I think right now the focus is still inside.
You mean that's like an eternity away in terms of the stock market? You know what I'm saying? In 3 months is like an eternity?
Yeah. Oh, in this market, it is an absolute eternity.
Yeah.
Especially the way it can move and how fast it can move. That's almost, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been something where, you know, we'd have been looking forward to that. But now that's too far out in the future. Now we got to focus on what's going on now with the price of oil and what's going on with inflation. And you know, natural gas is another area that people forget about. But you take a look at that and the levels where that's trading, along with copper and wheat and corn and just about everything we can mention. The markets are a very, very difficult place to navigate through right now. It is not easy, and I don't care who you are. It's not an easy time right now.
Well, Target and Walmart took a hit, you know, in their earnings over the last quarter. And obviously they'd had some record numbers there during COVID, et cetera. And obviously it's not as if they're going to file for Chapter 11 tomorrow. But you do follow those trends to see how people are feeling. And I guess that's more indicative of inflation and supply chain, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot going into the when you look at Walmart and Target, they were trying to do their best to not impact the market any more than they were. And we all know that inflation's been brutal. And quite honestly, they chose to, both of those companies and others out there as well, they took a big impact, a big hit to their margins. In other words, that changed everything about what their earnings looked like. Great example was Target, for instance, since that's so local. You take a look a year ago, they earned about $4 a share, and in this particular quarter, they had $2 a share. That's a pretty big difference. Mm-hmm. When you talk about revenue and the kind of money we're talking about here, that's an incredible number. And the stock took a pretty gigantic 25% drop off of the fact that those earnings dropped as significantly as they did. And so that's, you know, it's all part of this craziness that started a few years ago, and it's not over with yet. We don't have to see as many masks as we once had seen, but it doesn't mean that that's over, because we still have a chip shortage. We still have a shortage of a lot of things. And Target, I think, really highlighted how a lot of the time when you go to Target stores, the shelves don't look like they did pre-pandemic. You know, you're having a harder time getting everything that you want when you go shopping, no matter where you're going. And I think that was the takeaway from this quarter's worth of earnings.
Would it be almost, you know, you talk about Walmart and Target as natural competitors at the top of the food chain, et cetera. But when mm-hmm. you go in there, you say, you know, it all makes, you know, and I know there's a lot more to it than that, the sophistication of buyers and the right product and where you put on the shelves and all those things. But is this market vulnerable to, or not, I don't want to say vulnerable to, but is it a good time for another player to come out and compete against Walmart and Target? Is there another store out there that can do what they can do?
Well, maybe, Maxie. I don't want to say no, because that would be foolish of me probably to say that. But I would say that the difficulties that everybody's dealing with, specifically Target and Walmart and everybody within that category, throw in Costco and some of the other names, Home Depot. Part of the problem is, how much can you pass along? Because we all know what gas has gone. It's gone from $2 to well over $4, in some cases $5 a gallon in different parts of the country. So you've got that, but then you've got the trucking costs, which is a huge part of, obviously, those businesses. And so when you get hit on both sides, the trucking costs, because they can almost demand whatever they want to be able to move those things around the country, it really has impacted a lot about what these stores can do. And whether you're a new competitor or not, you're going to be dealing with those same types of things, because that cost is going to be there. So I'm not saying anybody couldn't get in there and maybe make a little bit of an impact, but I think the reality is, until we see fuel prices go down, some of the labor costs maybe at least stabilize and stop rising at the pace that they've been going, there's some definite issues out there that we all have to deal with each and every day. And you and I, it's mostly at the pump. When we go to the gas station, I can tell you this, every time I put the handle into my gas tank, it stops long before I'm filled with gas. So that says something about it.
You can't take it anymore, right? You go, I can't keep, I hear you, man. Yeah, you go, that's enough brutal for today, you know? But you know, I ran into a person that's a corporate recruiter at a banquet a couple weeks ago, and we were having this conversation mm-hmm. about, you know, he recruits people to companies, et cetera. And he said the age 54 to 65 just vanished on us. Because mm-hmm. people took retirements earlier, they decided they'd live on less money, all those things. So now you're trying to replenish that from the bottom up, from the college graduates. He says the problem is a lot of college graduates, a lot of people in their 20s don't want to be a part of a corporation anymore the way they used to, where it was a 401k and you worked there for as long as you could, or you moved from mm-hmm. you know, big company to big company and you played that game. They don't want to play that game anymore. They don't want to be involved in a corporation where they feel that they're stifled creativity-wise, and they believe now, you know, with access to everything that they have and their computers and everything else, they can create their own destiny and they can do things on their own, et cetera, et cetera. Is corporate America going to look a lot different over the next 10 years? Because or is this next generation going to say, I don't want to be a part of going to that office and adhering to all those rules?
Well, I think that's part of it. And you mentioned creativity is a huge part of it, and entrepreneurialism, all of that, I think, are factors. But when it's all said and done, I think you can always look back and say, okay, we understood that maybe we overreacted in that time, and not everybody's is cut out to take the risks on that a lot of these people are going to have to take, these young people. And when I say that, I include my own children coming out of college. You know,
absolutely.
Where are you going to go?
It's easy to think big and tight, but all of a sudden when you say, hey, if I don't get this figured out in 6 months, I'm in trouble. It's a different mindset.
It is a different mindset. But, you know, I think the corporations just have to embrace that. They've been fluid and moving along for a long period of time, figuring this out. And I think they'll continue to figure this out. People are still going to work for John Deere and Caterpillar and you know, Lunds and Byerly's and all these different kinds of places. They will still be working. You know, that part is going to happen. But at what cost? And that's going to be part of the problem as well, is what are those costs going to look like? And you know, that's what we're sort of struggling with right now.
when we come back, a guy that understands a lot about business and business and sports, Dr. Bill McGuire, owner of the Minnesota United, of course. And they had an interesting game the other day. And this whole Major League Soccer continues to evolve at a pace that will be interesting to tap into him with and find out more about it when we come back on The Huddle. Now, is this currently in the Twin Cities, it is partly cloudy and 52 degrees. Welcome back to The Huddle. Mike, Max, Pete, and Nigerian. Phone lines open, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Pete, along the lines of what we're just talking about, because it's college graduation time, obviously. Now most have already been held here in May. And the kids are looking at what's next. And some have jobs, some don't. The job market, et cetera. There's lots of jobs out there. What's the perfect job, et cetera. Would you encourage them, if they believe in their entrepreneurial skills, to go for that right now? Or would you encourage them, even if they have the great entrepreneurial spirit about them, to get into a corporation first and learn some things about the game before they branch out on their own? Is there a right or wrong way, do you think?
I don't know that there's a wrong way, but I would agree with you that I think if you start at the corporate side and understand business better, I think that through that experience, then you could bring that over to that entrepreneurial side. And I've encouraged my kids to do something similar to that, and they have. But not everybody needs to go in that path. But I do think that gives you a bit of a foundation, Maxie, an understanding, and you've been there at least. Because if once you become somebody who wants to be in that entrepreneurial world, it's great. But it's great to also understand the other side. And I think if your ultimate goals are to be somebody who is, on the crypto side of things or whatever it might be, on the technology side of things, that's great. But it's great to be inside of a corporate organization just to see how it runs and what's good and what's bad. What are some of the issues that go on there that you might not see at another level? And I think it's always great. It's what we talk about when we talk about experience. You and I were talking about Royce Lewis and the experience being up in the bigs and then getting sent back down. And, I hope my question was met the way I wanted it to be, which is I think it's better than to be able to go. You've learned, you've seen what it's like to be up there, what you've got to do. And maybe you get that opportunity to go back and explore that a little bit more at some future date. But for now, you can take away some of that and then get back there and get those reps, not just in baseball or sports, but get those reps when you are at a corporate spot and you understand all the ups and downs and what are the efficiencies and the inefficiencies that go on there. I think when you get all of that kind of within yourself, that gives you that opportunity to have a little bit better chance for success when you do want to break away.
Okay, so let me ask you a business-type sports question, and I think this is an interesting one right now. The St. Paul Saints are affiliated with the Minnesota Twins, their AAA team, and, of course, for years they survived and thrived as an independent team where they controlled everything. Now they've eliminated a lot of costs because they don't control the players that they get or the salaries that they have to pay or finding housing for them, whatever. Would you rather own an affiliated team where you just control the marketing of, or would you like to have soup to nuts in charge of everything from a business standpoint?
Well, I would tell you this, Maxie. I think you go for the money side of things. And I say that like this. A very good friend of mine down here in Florida actually owns a minor league hockey team. Now, he's got the money to be able to own, and he actually bid on the St. Louis Blues not too many years ago to try to purchase them. Instead, he stayed down here in Fort Myers area. He actually bought the arena. He owns the arena that they play in down there, the Hertz Arena, and he owns the minor league team. And his finances and the amount that he's got there from a percentage perspective, he's making far more money because he's in the minor league where he's got control, but they've got ultimate control. But he's making incredible amounts of money each and every year off of this, investment that he's made. And it just shows you that you don't always have to be in the bigs to make the big money. There's a lot of money to be made in other sides of things. And years ago, my brother and I actually looked into buying a minor league baseball team because they were much more affordable 20 years ago, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's something there, Maxie, where the amount of money that it takes to be a part of that and run that is so different than the major league itself. And yet that there's a lot of money that can happen if you do things right and if you're able to run the franchise the right way. And it's incredible, but it is an amazing thing that you actually can probably make more money at times than you would be at the next level.
Well, let's bring in a guy that knows a whole lot about that as well. Dr. Bill McGuire is one of the primary owners of the Minnesota United, of course. He joins us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. They play later today against Dallas, but he has seen up close, come from corporate America to somewhat entrepreneurial, somewhat governed by the MLS, and taking a team from soup to nuts and building a stadium and all that goes with it. Dr. McGuire, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Maxie. Appreciate it.
Tell me, we were just reflecting on some of that. What have you learned over the last several years? You know, I'm sure a lot of this was driven by your love for sports and competition, but also your entrepreneurial spirit. What have you learned about getting into the MLS with the Minnesota United from a business perspective?
Well, I guess the biggest thing we learned is that we probably didn't know everything that it involved, or even very close. And obviously, about the tail end of the discussion a minute ago. I mean, you know, you don't control everything either. Mm-hmm. And every situation is different. Every market is different. And so there's just a lot of variables out there. But, you know, I think the initial effort, as we've said many times, was to secure the sport at the highest level possible for our community. And that was the starting point, and that's really what drove the people. And then you have to put a structure together to make that happen, and hopefully it'll work out. And I think in terms of getting something here, getting the team started, having a great stadium that really works for the sport and for the fans, you know, and reasonable results, I think we've got a good start.
Dr. McGuire, I got a quick question for you about you have a great fan base. I mean, an absolutely incredible fan base. And obviously, we all had to deal with pandemic over the last couple of years. How have you guys navigated through that? And where are we now compared to maybe, you know, ahead of the pandemic? How are things looking from that aspect as far as the fans coming into the stands and all the rest of that? Has it completely bounced back?
I think it's generally bounced back. I mean, you know, if you measure it by the enthusiasm of people, the interest of people, the ability to relate to the people, I think we're back. You know, I don't know that was ever gone. We have a great fan base, and they're really tuned into the team. So from that aspect, we're absolutely back. I think some of the business aspects have still not fully recovered, as you know, we can see across a variety of things. All the businesses that were part of the partnership that go into doing something like this, they've struggled and had challenges in their own ways. People have challenges just on the economics. So that does impact things like your ability to go to the game sometimes or that kind of stuff. So those elements are certainly not returned, and we're all aware of the challenges now. Even getting people to help provide the kind of service that you create have been difficult because we don't have quite the workforce, people not coming back. So the interest in the people in our community and around the country in the sport and in the team has not waned. But I think some of the ways it manifests from a business standpoint around the country in the sport and in the team has not waned. But I think some of the ways it manifests from a business standpoint, financial standpoint, we've got a ways to go to get that fully back yet.
Dr. McGuire, this is a business question and a sports question at the same time. Obviously, the United have been struggling to score goals over the last 3 weeks, and offensively they've struggled some. Do you think that the MLS is, do you find that people want to see more offense than a 1-0, a 1-1, or a 2-1 game, or is it not about that when people go to a game? Do the number of goals not matter?
Well, I've never done a poll or seen a poll. My instinct is people like to see goals. People like to see offense. That's certainly the case in every sport. I remember back years ago, we had a lot of noise around hockey. Well, we're not scoring enough goals in hockey, and I don't know what happened to change it. And then, well, baseball didn't have enough. People like to see goals in baseball, and, of course, folks like to see goals scored or buckets made in basketball. So I think everybody likes the offensive side. I think the one other element, though, is that in soccer, at least for sure, as people understand the sport more, they do acknowledge the importance and the value of a great defense in keeping goals out. Because it is hard to score goals in hockey, for sure. But people have figured out now how to score the goals, and it's a very fast game. You go to soccer, it's really tough to score goals a lot of times, and you get a lot of, you know, you get chances, and you have no idea why they don't go in some days. And so it is difficult, and therefore that defense really helps you a lot. So I think it's a very balanced look, but the, you know, bottom line answer, people love to see goals.
Dr. McGuire, you obviously are, as an owner, you're exposed to a lot of different things. It's not just Major League Soccer and all those kinds of Major League Baseball and the NHL, NFL, all those things. Can spring football work? I just, you know, we had that conversation earlier. We were talking about the USFL and the XFL and all these leagues over all these years that just haven't been able to get over the hump to be meaningful. Do you think, from a business perspective, can a spring football actually be successful at the professional level?
Well, I don't know. I think that's a product of how much sports people have the capacity to see in general sports. And if they have more capacity, is that the sport they want to see? And then it's, what is success? I mean, just being able to see quality competitive games on the field of play may be enough to be labeled success. If, on the other hand, it is financial success and the quality of the play and the atmosphere and the facility and all of those other things that go into the totality of what you're watching and part of, that could be a very different matter. I don't know that there is enough financial backing to do all of these sports and have them mean the same thing to people the way they need to in order to produce a stable economic environment, I guess you could say.
Last question. You played Dallas today, two-game week. You played the other night against the Galaxy, of course. Do you, as an owner and a fan, do you watch closely? Like, are you dialed into what Dallas does well and what the United do well, or do you just, like a lot of fans, show up and say, let's see what happens?
Well, I'm not a let's show up and see what happens.
I certainly
want to see what happens, but I'm pretty dialed in about what they're doing and what everybody's doing. I mean, I'm like, right now I'm sitting here watching back and forth Premier League games going on now. That's quite a deal today in the UK. But no, I try to understand, and it's maybe though more than just the game. It's not a matter of trying to anticipate who's going to do what and how it's going to be played, but it's to understand what have the other teams done to make themselves better, and sure, how is that being manifest, and what lessons are there in that we could maybe apply to our own situation or not. And then it's beyond just the game on the field. What do I see in the stands? What do we feel in terms of emotion? You know, one of the great things about going to Allianz Field for a game, and people saw it the other night. I mean, it's the energy, it's the vibrancy, it's the engagement of people. All of those things go into making the sport really something pretty special. And so you're also looking for that.
Well, I appreciate it, and we appreciate it, and thanks for making the commitment. This has been quite a success going over that that stadium that just stands out right off of Highway 94, and we look forward to talking to you again throughout the summer, but thanks for giving us some time today.
All right. Dr. McGuire. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
You bet, Dr. Bill McGuire. When we come back, I'll ask Pete about that. The business side of soccer in the U.S. Is it ripe? Is it growing? Is it all about timing? Stay with us. Welcome back to the Huddle. Mike Max, Pete Najarian. Pete, you know, we talk about business side of lots of things. Do you think soccer, because for 30 years we've been hearing about soccer as the next big thing, and it's really been incremental in growth. It hasn't been the mushroom that a lot of people thought it would be. And people are very aware of soccer, and it's done well here in the stadium and the MLS and the new stadium, et cetera. But it seems to me this has been one of those, if you want to get into it from a business standpoint, your timing better be just right. Because a lot of people were, I think, got ahead of the curve and thought it was about to explode, and it never did over the last 25 years. How do you see soccer as a business?
Well, as a business, that's a great question, because I think when I actually looked this up a while back, and participation-wise, soccer has passed up the NHL or mm-hmm. hockey from a participation perspective. Now, when you go to looking at the financial side of it, I think that's a little bit of a different story. But I will say this. The fans that are fans of soccer are absolutely rabid. And I think we heard Dr. McGuire talking exactly on that topic. I'll tell you what, there is nothing like the soccer fans. They're more committed than Buffalo Bill fans or whoever you want to pull out.
Internationally speaking, especially where you see it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. When you go over to Europe and you actually witness this in the UK or in Germany or wherever you might be and you get a chance to watch, it is absolutely unbelievable. And I don't find myself to be the guy as a part of that whole thing, but I love being a voyeur and watching how excited people are as they're entering stadiums and singing and doing all the things. There's so much that goes into it. It's just great. I love the emotion. I love the commitment, but I'm just not so sure that the U.S. has, as you said, Maxie, and I think you're exactly right, have we embraced it financially? Are people watching it on television to the same regard that they do everywhere else around the world? And I think the answer is no, not in the U.S. We still got the NHL and the Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NFL. Those are the big dogs still. And they're getting the big money, because in the U.S. that's still, that's the top. And that it's interesting. It's fun. I'll tell you what, I've been to Allianz Field a couple of different times, Maxie. I've seen a couple soccer games there, but I've also seen, I think it was St. Thomas had a big game there a few years ago. I attended that. It is an absolutely beautiful stadium that I know they've got to be very proud of, because it's outstanding over there. Absolutely love it.
But, oh, yeah.
TV-wise and money-wise, I just don't know that soccer has gained as fast, like you said,
they can't make a profit. We're just saying, is it on the cutting edge of being a big-time sport? And ESPN has pushed it. Everybody's pushed it. And I always feel like the appetite is good, and it's moving, but it's probably moving slower than some of the leagues would like to see.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
All right. Good to be with you, as always, Pete. We'll do it again next week, talking sports, business of sports, and a whole lot more. You've been listening to The Huddle. The Twins go for the sweep against the Kansas City Royals. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.